Psalm 104, verse 27, these wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. We come to the psalm. I want to ask a question which some of you have heard me ask before. And that is this. Is the account of creation, which we find in the scriptures, to be taken literally, or is it to be understood poetically? Is the account of creation, which we find in the scriptures, to be taken literally, or is it to be taken poetically? Well, the answer is both. And the answer is both because there are two accounts of creation. There's an account of creation in Genesis, and there is nothing poetic about the form in which that is reported, but rather it is given in a manner which is in keeping with the rest of that book, with the rest of our redemptive history, and therefore should be read as such. But in Psalm 104, we have a poetic account of creation. It parallels the account we have from Genesis in the order in which different matters are raised. It follows the six-day order, but the chronology is not so precise, and the expression is clearly poetic. It not only sets out the reality of creation, but we might say it gives expression to the sense of wonder that creation provokes. As we see the greatness of God and the mercy of God worked out in creation, because the psalm shows us how the creation sustains the creatures. What God made was for the good of all the different creatures. And the psalm opens and it closes with this cry of bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise God for his goodness as you see what he has done. The psalmist is really saying, look at all of this and sing and shout. Be encouraged, because this God who has done all of this is our God. Our God provides for all. And therefore then, will he forget you who have been bound to him in covenant? This is the thinking of our Lord when he speaks in Matthew chapter 6. He says, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Well, I'd like us to focus particularly upon verse 27 and verse 28 of this psalm, which speaks about creation. Verse 27, these wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season, that thou givest them they gather, thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Now these words don't simply relate to verse 25 and 26, which speaks about the innumerable sea creatures, the small and the great, and talks about Leviathan, but actually refers to all that's gone before, all the different creatures described before. In verse 17, it speaks about the birds. In verse 18, it speaks about the goats and the conies. In verse 21, it speaks about the lions. In verse 23, it speaks about man. And as to what Leviathan is, in many ways that doesn't really matter. In Isaiah, Leviathan is taken as symbolic of evil spiritual power, the serpent, the dragon. In Job 41, perhaps it's a crocodile, or a sea serpent, perhaps a whale, some dinosaur. But the point is simply this. Leviathan is something massive and monstrous. Huge power. And yet, as utterly dependent upon God as any other of these creatures. So when it says, these wait all upon thee, it's speaking about the birds of the air, the domestic creatures of the field, the wild beasts of the forest, the creatures of the sea, every person, everyone, everything. And I want, therefore, to think about God's grace. So it's particularly verse 28, you might say, that thou givest them they gather. Thou openest thine hand, and they are filled with good. God's grace in providing. God's grace in giving. And I want to emphasise that, and it's good that we have a Harvest Thanksgiving service, because it is easy for us to forget, because we are people of such privilege. We have so much that we're maybe not conscious of the harvest. We're not consciously dependent upon crops that we grow and that we reap. We do not see them always growing. We certainly don't see them always being reaped. And as a society, it seems that there is almost a complete control of these things. So no longer do the boundaries of geography matter. You can have what you want. No longer do the boundaries of the seasons matter. You can have what you want. Whether it's in season or out of season, whether it's local produce or whether it's exotic, you can have what you want. And we have such an abundance that there's a danger to think of ourselves as self-reliant. Remember reading about an American citizen who was in prison for a time in North Korea. And as part of his imprisonment, he was told he'd have to work in the fields, that he would have to tend a part of the field and raise his own crops. But if he wanted to eat, he would, like everyone else, have to tend the soil and bring forth some harvest so he could eat. And the man described how he didn't have a clue what to do. And the North Korean guards couldn't believe that he didn't know what to do. They didn't believe him when he said he'd never did that before. That most people in the United States didn't grow their own food. They weren't dependent upon what they could raise. But rather that the farms were so large and the farmers were so productive that most people could do something else. You know, our technology enables us to bring in bumper harvests. So much so that there's not only an abundance, oftentimes there is too much. When I was in France a couple of weeks ago, they were bringing in the corn harvest, the maize. And there was heaps of corn just gathered in great areas where the trailers were bringing it in. They were dumping it before it would be gathered up again and taken off to market. And it was going for the international pig food market. What an overwhelming volume of food there is. And how much food is wasted. But it comes to us by God's grace. He opens his hand and gives. And we are dependent upon God's grace for giving. Spurgeon said it this way: the mere closing of his hand would mean death by famine. If God withholds, we will not have. But because God has given, we do have. It's from God. It's not from ourselves. It's not according to our cleverness. But it's by his grace. Now, I know that God works through various means. And we speak about natural laws and we can speak about the seasons. But these are structured and kept by his providence. good for us to have a harvest thanksgiving, for us to remember that we're dependent upon the harvest which God gives. It's good for us to remember that we're dependent upon what grows in the field. Sometimes we have such a sophisticated view of ourselves that we do not realise how earthly we are. That just like all the other creatures, we must eat what grows in the field. So from the unseen microscopic creature to the monstrous beasts of the ocean, we're dependent upon God's bounty and God's grace. It's interesting as the psalm progresses in verse 14, it says, "He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart." It's not only the basic provision of sustenance, but there is wine, and there is oil, and there is bread. There is variety, there is flavour, there is sweetness. It's not simply a meagre ration to get you through, but there is an abundance and a provision for you to savour and to enjoy. There is sweetness. God's grace. Friends, we have no resources that are our own. We speak about those who produce food, but really these are links in a chain. They are not the beginning. The beginning of that chain, as it were. The one who gives is God, who opens his hands. And that's an important thing for us to remember, because the media has been so full of the climate summit in Glasgow, COP26, as though all the politicians and all the populations of the nations had the power to control the elements and to order the world. It is God that opened his hand. It is God that gives the seasons. It is God that shows his mercy. Now, is absolute madness to abuse the resources that God has given. But it is absolute madness to deny that God is over all. I'm not saying that we should be careless and extravagant and foolish and pollute and spoil. But nor should we fill ourselves with fear, as though God would not care for us nor provide for us according to his mercy. It is God's grace. And because it's God's grace, when you have food at home, you ought to say a grace or speak in prayer to God to thank him for his grace. That's why we call it a grace, because we're thanking him for his grace. We're acknowledging that the meal we have has come from him. I wonder if maybe, even if we do remember to say a grace, if it is the case that we don't say that with the same feeling as our forebears, who were conscious that every mouthful came through the mercy of God, and who were not confident where that next mouthful would come from. Not only should we pray and give thanks to God for every meal we receive, but we should pray for the harvest and praise him for the harvest and praise him for the significance of the seasons, because they all have their part in the bringing forth of the harvest. And to praise God for his covenant faithfulness, because he bound himself. Remember in Genesis chapter 8? He said to Noah, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." He said, "While the earth remaineth, all this, and this, and this, and this," is a whole list there. God is saying, "I will do it. That doesn't mean that you, of course, will have everything you always want. But rather, what it means is we can look to God and trust ourselves into his care. And we should marvel at his patience with our decadent and rebellious society. Well, first of all, we see God's grace. But secondly, in this verse, we see our responsibility. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, and they are filled with good. So we have God's grace, but they have also here the need to gather. It's interesting that God has given, and yet he has made you and me responsible for gathering his blessing. God provides, but you must participate. This is the principle which Paul brings out in 2 Thessalonians, where he says, if any would not work, neither should he eat. Remember when manna was given to the children of Israel during the Exodus from Egypt to the land of promise? Every morning there was manna. But every person, or every household, or every family had to go and gather what was given. Because when the sun came up, in the heat of the day, the manna was gone for the day. It couldn't be stored. You had to gather. Gathering. Isn't it wonderful that although it is the Lord who provides for us in all things, yet he bestows upon us a particular dignity? We're not to be passive, but we're to participate. We're to work, and work will bring a reward. We're to gather what he gives in his grace. There's a tendency sometimes to complain about work. A tendency to complain about our daily chores and our different responsibilities that are put upon us. And yet, it is part of God's good order. I know that frustration came in as a result of the fall. That for Adam, there were thorns and thistles, and the sweat he would reap from the fields. But work itself was part of the original creation. Work was part of paradise. And work endures, and work will be fruitful. So we have God's grace, and yet our responsibility to gather. And God has given in his mercy strength and skill and technology. The power you have to lift your hand to your mouth to enjoy his good gifts is through his grace. The power to harvest from the oceans, to irrigate and farm the desert like in ancient Egypt. The power to work in different industry or different parts of society. The success given in agriculture and animal husbandry so that we're not all having to raise our own food. You maybe don't gather in the fields. But you must go out and work, and then with what you earn, you buy what you require. And it's all a way of gathering what God in his grace has given. But friends, though you are to gather, that doesn't make you the master of it all. It's important to understand that, because there's a danger that because we recognise our part in gathering, we recognise our part in getting, that we start to think that it's all about me and this is now mine. When you take possession of something, there's a danger you become proud of that something. It's good and it's commendable to work. Good and commendable to gather what God in his grace has given. And maybe you're particularly skilled and able to gather much more than anyone else. But Paul writes in 1 Corinthians and says, who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? He says, now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou had not received it? God's given to you. And God's given you the gifts to get what you have. And therefore it's not about you having done well, but it's about God having shown mercy. Gathering much doesn't make you great. Donald John Morrison, the home mission worker, preaching in a large day, was speaking about that, wasn't he? How wealth can become impoverishing. When the wealth takes over and it hardens us from that which matters more. And we put our confidence in riches. It's certainly true that wise gathering brings satisfaction. That's what it says in verse 28. That thou givest, then they gather. Thou openest thine hand, and they're filled with good. It's interesting, you see that with really all the other creatures. God opens his hand, he gives of his grace, they gather and they take what they require and they leave the rest. I found washed up on the shore with the children this morning a tuna fish, 2 meters long, massive. And the tail part had been eaten away at. And I spoke to somebody who told me they had seen otters at it just before we were there. But the otters had obviously eaten enough and left. But what would be the tendency for an individual when you find something that's potentially valuable is to take it all. To take everything. The other creatures, they take what they need and they go. But the heart of man is to take everything. And so the other creatures, they receive from the hand of God and are satisfied. But there's a danger, friends, that if we take more and more and more, we don't become more and more satisfied, but rather instead, we become more and more dissatisfied. There's a danger of greed. There's a danger of selfishness. And that's why, in looking at this passage, I want us to notice three things. The first is grace. The second is gathering. But the third is giving. Because that's to do with how we respond. When you see God's grace and when you have gathered, what then do you do? Do you get more and more or do you give? Do you spend and buy and have for yourself? Well, I think the answer to that question, do you get or do you give, maybe depends upon how you look at it. Do you think of what you gather in as his gift or as your gain? Because I think if you recognise it to be God's gift, then you recognise it as first of all God's. And if you recognise it's first of all God's, then you will savour, you will enjoy, but you will not hoard and spoil it through selfishness. But if you think of it simply as your own gain, I think there's much more of a danger that you will hold on to that and you will not use it for his glory or for the good of others. Isn't it something that God allows each of us to gather not only what we need, but he enables us to gather more than we need. Why do you think that is? Is it so you become confident in what's in the cupboard or confident with what's in the bank? Or is it so that you may reflect God Himself? See, God has shown grace and given to you so that you might show grace and give to another. It's interesting, in Deuteronomy, in chapter 15, it says, "The poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, to thy needy, in thy land." It's the same language as the psalm here. God opens his hand. And because God has opened his hand and given to you, you're to open your hand. And Deuteronomy emphasizes this by adding the word, open thine hand wide. And you're to open your hand wide to your brother, and to your poor, and to your needy in your land. Now that's not to be taken with a wooden literalness in which you say, well, my brother is the child of my father, not my mother. But it means that you care for those who are around you. What does it say in the psalm here? God opens his hand and they are filled with goods. Well, friends, God has opened his hand to you so that you might receive and open your hand that others would be filled with good. You know, your wise generosity can induce others to sing God's praise. Your wise generosity can induce others to sing God's praise. Because there are some tonight who are crying out to God because they do not have. And if you will take some of what God has given to you and give to them, they may see your hand or your part in that. Or it may be done in such a way as you become invisible. But do you know what they will see? They will see the faithful answer of God to their prayers. They'll see the provision of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. And do you know what they'll do with that? They will take from that what they need, and they themselves will give and give and give. And it's a continuing giving, isn't it? Haven't you ever experienced that yourself? Someone's kindness and generosity has so filled your heart with gladness that you've praised God for them, and it's induced you to be kind and generous to someone else in turn. God's grace, your gathering, and then you're giving. And it's interesting, the scripture doesn't give an absolute set measure as to what you're to give. Because this isn't about cold legality and I've given my quota. Rather, the scripture gives you the liberty to give freely. And that's how we give thanks to God for the harvest. Not simply by speaking these words, but by taking the blessing of the harvest, which we all reap in many ways, and sharing that blessing with others, opening our hand wide. That thou givest them they gather, thou openest thine hand, and they are filled with good. Amen.